everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass. Looks like a beautiful day. Wednesday, March the 9th, 2022. Tom, it looks like we're going to get a little cool, windy weather then. Almost 90 degrees next week, so maybe the cool weather is going to be behind us real soon.
Light breezes today and some breezes tomorrow. And, Bill, just for you.
Not the blowing dust. I hate
it. No. Oh. The possibility of showers tomorrow night.
Well, we certainly could use some rain, couldn't we? It has been a very dry year. Anyway, speaking of years, we're in our 12th year now on the radio and 34 years on TV and radio here in Tucson. The Buckmaster Show broadcasts from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We're beginning today with a discussion about animal well-being issues in our community, but first some animal shelter statistics that are kind of tough to digest, like this: 6.5 annually, 6.5 million animals enter shelters in the United States. About 3 million shelter animals are put down, euthanized in the U.S. every year. Five states are responsible for 50% of the shelter euthanasia. The U.S. boasts more than 2,000 no-kill shelters. In 2019, Delaware became the first no-kill shelter state. There are around 70 million stray animals in the United States. 88% of the pets living in underserved communities aren't spayed or neutered. And in 2015, 36%, that's a little over one in three, abandoned animals were taken to a shelter. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show Monica Dangler. Monica is director of Pima Animal Care Center. Monica came to the shelter in 2019 as deputy director, serving under Kristen Hassan, who left Tucson in October of 2020 to head the American Pets Alive program. Monica Dangler was named to that top leadership position at PACC last June. It's great to have you back, Monica.
Yeah, great. Thank you for having me in today.
We talked with you shortly after you were named the permanent director after serving as interim. That was about, well, it's 8 or 9 months ago.
Yeah, about.
Have you kind of been moving in the way you wanted to with your vision for the first year?
Absolutely. You know, we're really kind of, my goal was to continue helping people keep their pets, right? That's the best way to help animal shelters, is offer those resources to people. Granted, COVID has thrown a little wrenches at us here and there, like it's thrown at everybody, to make it a little bit more challenging. But we're still focused on how do we help people keep their pets. Obviously, we can't always, but for those pets that have families and have people who love them, let's keep them with them so the shelter can really just focus on those pets who really need us, those that have behavioral challenges, maybe medical challenges, they got hit by a car, things like that. And that really helps us, you know, focus our resources better so we can really, you know, focus on those pets that need us and increase the life-saving that's already happening in Pima County.
So if someone brings an animal and says, there's an issue here, I can't keep the animal because of whatever, your team will try to intervene and mediate some kind of a solution that that animal can somehow stay in that particular home.
Absolutely. So we have our pet resource center, and when anybody can't hold on to their pet any longer, or they just need help, maybe they're trying to decide if they can keep it, they're going to call our pet resource center, and we're going to ask them some different questions, because it might be you got a new puppy and they're chewing all your stuff up.
Yeah.
We can give you some resources with puppy training and how to keep that from happening. But it also might be you've got an older dog that's having some medical issues and you can't afford the medical treatment. In some cases, we're able to help with partnerships that we have throughout the community, get either a lower cost for you or sometimes subsidize those costs for those minor medical issues. Maybe it's a tumor or, bad allergies or something like that. So if we can intervene and help you keep your pet, we always want to do that and keep them with you. I mean, the best place for all of our animals are in our homes with people who love them, or in the communities with people that love them, in the case of community cats.
Because think of the separation anxiety that the animal, the dog or cat, goes through.
Absolutely. Even the most amazing shelter and PAC, we're lucky our taxpayers gave us this amazing, beautiful new facility.
That was about 5 years ago.
Yeah. But it's not a home.
No.
Right? So if we can keep them in a home and help those people, whether it's giving them food or minor medical treatment, we want to take that course of action first, if that's the right thing to do. Obviously, there's certain circumstances where the pets do need to come to us. And
sure.
We definitely want to be able to be an open source for those people to bring the pets who are in crisis.
And also, with the economic situation, someone says, I just can't afford food for the animal. There are some food assistance programs, correct, Monica?
Correct. There's quite a few resources throughout Pima County.
Mm-hmm.
I know we have them listed on our website, as well as No Kill Pima County has quite a few resources for whether it's food or spay-neuter
sure.
or medical. Those are listed all over. But whenever PAC can help, we get in lots of donations from different places, and we go throughout the community with food. You can contact us, and we can get you food, especially when you're like, some things happened, and this paycheck was spent to fix my car this month. I just need enough food for this next month. Great, let us help you out.
And I know that our friend Donna DeConcini, with her animal food bank, mm-hmm. that project continues to grow. So there are areas that people can get some food assistance, because you hate to think that a dog or cat is going to have to leave the home because of strictly economic reasons.
Absolutely. And what we see so many times is people have fallen on hard times for whatever reason, and they're keeping food from themselves, not from their dogs or their cats, which is, it's also not good, right? We want to have a healthy community here in Pima County, and if we can give you dog food or other supplies, maybe it's, laundry detergent so that
sure.
you can buy your food and take care of yourself. We want to make sure that everybody's healthy. It's not just the pets, but it's also the people.
I began the segment with some statistics that I said, and I think you would agree, that are tough to digest nationally. We do a lot better than I think some of these averages, correct? I mean,
absolutely.
We're a very animal welfare friendly community.
Absolutely. And by the way, Tucson was just voted number one pet-friendly place in the United States.
I did not know that.
It just came out
wow.
The other day. So
okay.
that's amazing. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of that is because of Pima County,
sure.
right? They look at lots of different things, but a big piece is the animal shelters in that community and how they function. And, we're lucky. Like I said, our taxpayers support us a lot. They got us a new shelter, and it's amazing and beautiful. Our community fosters for us. We have over 1,100 animals in foster right now.
Really?
Our community definitely supports us, and that's because they love pets. And it's very obvious that people do love pets in the community. So PAC right now is at about a 92-93% live release rate on a monthly basis, which that means the number of animals coming in and going out. We're not doing any monkey business with the numbers. It's if they're coming in, we're counting them. If they're going out, we're counting them.
Those that are put down, there's an obvious reason usually.
Absolutely.
Serious medical issues that
yes.
just would not really help the animal to move forward.
Right. We see dangerous dogs. We
sure.
see other serious behavior issues that sending them into the public isn't responsible. But then we get lots of hit by cars and other medical things. Perhaps your dog is really old and you need to euthanize it. It's really expensive to do a euthanasia at a veterinarian. So they can bring them to us. They do have to surrender to the pet to us, unfortunately. But we'll medically evaluate it. And if euthanasia is the right thing to do, then we'll euthanize that pet. If they have some longer term, they have some extra time, then we'll treat them. Sometimes it's just an old dog that needs extra medications. So we'll see pets come in that reason for euthanasia. And then babies, especially neonatal kittens. We're about to hit kitten season. When kittens are brought into the shelter under 4 weeks of age, they have a really minimal chance of survival without their mom. So that's the other place that we see the most death in the shelter.
All right, we're going to pause right here. Our conversation about animal well-being issues in our community, and it's a very caring community when it comes to animals. I know I care a lot. I support personally Pima Animal Care Center, known as PAC. In fact, I run a 30-second PSA that on my program every day about what you and your team do there, Monica. And I do that out of the kindness of my heart because I believe in your mission. And you also have a support group, the Friends of PACC.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, Friends of PAC is instrumental in our life saving for sure.
Let's talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, one of my great sponsors. Monica, do you like bakery goods?
Who doesn't love bakery goods?
I know I love them. Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are open right now for lunch. They open at breakfast time, 6:30 in the morning. People, Monica, are waiting outside for them to open because they want their coffee and they want their Danish. I don't blame them. Find out what all the excitement is about. Steve and the team do a great job with a wide variety of European-style breads and pastries. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, their website will tempt you with all those beautiful color pictures of everything on the menu and a few things maybe like that secret menu that I ask them about. The Buckmaster Tuna Melt, not officially on the menu, but it would be a lovely addition to lunch today if you're in the vicinity of Mona's, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Be right back with Monica Dangler. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The director of PAC is with us, Pima Animal Care Center, Monica Dangler, and friends of PAC, an organization we support here on the Buckmaster Show. And others are very excited about Pets of Pima Parade, Monica. That's coming up on historic 4th Avenue Saturday, April 23rd. What's that about?
Oh, that's going to be such a fun event. It's going to be something no one's ever seen in Tucson before. It's a huge parade, and it's for all pets. There'll be an area for dogs to walk. There'll be a cat caravan. I'm actually bringing my cat.
A cat caravan.
I've got a backpack with a see-through back that I'm putting my cat in. She's going to love it. And then there's going to be the pride, the PAC Pride area, which is going to be for all the other things, for tortoises and turkeys and snakes and whatever people want to bring that they can
walk
they call
in the
parade
exotics.
There. Yes, the exotics.
Boy, I don't know if Prissy the Glam Cat, my little cat, would be very comfortable in the Pets on Parade. Not that she wouldn't be the knockout pet of the Pets of Pima Parade, but that's going to be cool to see some animals that are going to be out there, especially cats.
Yeah,
some of them are, you know, like my little cat, I don't think would be very comfortable leaving her little room where she lives, but others are much more sociable.
For sure. Yeah, my cat's very outgoing, so she's going to enjoy it. And for those people like yourself who have cats or dogs that maybe wouldn't do well in that, we have big photos that you can make and carry them on a popsicle stick so they can kind of virtually be with you and you can represent them.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, that's Pets of Pima Parade. That's coming up April the 23rd, a Saturday, on 4th Avenue. Let's talk a bit about the centerpiece of really, we were mentioning at the beginning of the program, you shared with us that actually Tucson and Pima County has been voted the most pet-friendly area of the United States. But the centerpiece of all of these wonderful groups, and there are a lot of them, there's the people that just love the beagles, there are the people that love just cats, but the centerpiece is the organization that you're head of. Tell us about how that fits in.
Yeah, so PAC, you know, our mission is, because we're a municipal shelter, right? We're tax-funded. Our mission is public health and public safety. So how do those two things merge? And then how do we work with these other organizations? You know, the public health piece is how do we help keep people with their pets? And like I said, that can be, you know, house pets. That can be community cats, because community cats have a big group of people that love and care for them. We know that keeping pets with their families is not just good for the pets, it's good for the people, right? It lowers heart disease, it lowers all kinds of diseases and lengthens...
Lowers your blood pressure.
It helps if you have, you know, mental illness. It helps with all of those things. So that's the one piece of our mission. And then the other piece, right, is the public safety. You know, making sure we don't have sick and diseased animals running around the streets, right? We want to make sure that those come in, we can treat them and find them the appropriate homes or return them back to where they belong. And then the other piece of public safety is, you know, those dogs that are up to mischief. We don't want dogs running around and causing problems. So that's the other piece, bringing them in and taking care of them, either adopting them out or working with their owners to make sure that those dogs aren't running around and chasing people on bikes and all the things that dogs sometimes do, but keeping both the people and the pet safe.
And one of the toughest jobs, you have your animal resource officers. I don't know if that's the correct, what their title is, but it seems like these are people that love animals. You'd have to, because they're on the front lines. If there's an animal that's been hit by a car or there's animal abuse, these people see it first.
Absolutely. I like your title, animal resource officers.
Well,
we call them animal protection officers, but
yeah.
I like yours better. I think we might change it.
Hope so.
But yeah, that's, I mean, all the jobs are tough at PAC, but that's probably one of the toughest, right? Because what they're doing is a range, it's a huge range, right? They have to do police assist. So whether if somebody's being locked out of their house because they're being evicted and there's pets there, then we would go. If somebody passed away in their house or is taken away to the emergency room and there's pets in there, then we go in and get those pets. So they
it goes on and on, doesn't
it? Yeah, they see
there's issues that that are what's typically referred to as people who hoard animals.
Mm-hmm.
That's always an issue, isn't it?
Yep. And yeah, they take care of those situations.
It's
where
not that they don't love animals.
Yeah. Sometimes they love them too much.
Too much.
Right.
And they can't care for all of them. And then this becomes a huge issue as well.
Yeah. A lot of times what we see is people started with a few. They loved animals. A couple stray dogs came in or stray cats. They took care of them. They didn't get them
then
spayed or
neutered.
Then a
neighbor says, oh, there's some cats over here. And they go and they bring them in and it goes on and
on. Yep. And then they're not spayed and neutered. So then they're just multiplying.
How
right?
about stray dogs?
Yeah. What about stray dogs?
It's a big issue.
Yeah. Yeah. So stray dogs, right? I mean, there's a couple things going on with stray dogs. There's pockets of the community where dogs maybe roam around a little bit more freely than other areas.
Kind of in packs, maybe?
Sometimes in packs, sometimes just by themselves,
yeah.
right? And a lot of times it's just there's not as much fencing or the fencing isn't as secure and as in other areas. So the dogs kind of walk around. Sometimes they're just moseying around. They go to different houses. Mm-hmm. They've got a plan.
They're on a little territory.
Yeah. They got a plan on what they're doing for the day. They're they're not a risk to the public.
Sure.
But then, you know, sometimes there are dogs that are running in packs or chasing people.
Mm-hmm.
They're chasing little kids, things like that. Obviously, those dogs, that's a public safety issue. So when we get those calls, we're going to go in and try to find those dogs. The problem with stray dogs is where they were when you called us, and by the time we get there, they're usually not there anymore. So that makes it a little tricky. But, you know, when we know where those dogs live or if we can find those dogs, we can then address it with those individuals. And a lot of times it's just people either don't know. They don't know that their dog's not allowed to run around, or they don't have the resources to keep their dog from running around. Their fence isn't secure. And in things like that, we can help provide extra pieces of fencing to help secure those areas. And then on occasion, there's some that the dogs are just getting out, the people don't care. And in those cases, right, then we're going to take a little bit different action with them. But, you know, with the stray dogs, what we're finding is most of our intake of dogs are stray dogs, probably about 75% of them.
Right.
Of those dogs, almost 80% of them are being brought into us, not by the people who live around those dogs, but by people driving through the communities that are like, oh, there's a dog loose. I better grab it.
Mm-hmm.
Which definitely, if they are being a public nuisance, they're running in a major roadway, they might get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. But if they're kind of sitting in the front yard, maybe. I don't, you know, maybe not.
It may be somebody, somebody's dog that
it's probably
just doesn't have a collar and tags.
Yeah, it's probably somebody's dog.
The dog may be just a few doors away from being home.
And in most cases, they're just a couple doors away from being home.
Yeah,
so
that's an issue.
When we see those dogs, if we can knock on doors, super helpful, because you might find out where that dog lives. I know that's what I've done in the past. I'm like, hey, does anybody know this dog? They're like, oh, they live over there.
It's a neighborhood dog.
Exactly, and just take them back.
One thing we haven't talked about, it's overcrowding season, especially with the cats. Mm-hmm. The kitty litters are coming on. During the pandemic, it seems like everybody was at home, working from home. They wanted to have a companion animal with them. So your shelter, your numbers went dramatically down. Your intake went down. Things are different right now.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like you said, during the pandemic, our numbers went way down, and you know, our community supports us. We put a call out and said, "Help us!" But also, people wanted pets because they were, you know, kind of bored and lonely at home, and that's great. Now our numbers are going back up to, you know, pre-COVID numbers as people are going back to work and the kids are in school and all of those things. So we're not really taking in more pets. It's just they're not leaving as quickly as they did before because people now are a little bit more hesitant to adopt, right? Maybe they're not as economically secure. Everything's going up in prices.
Right.
Or they're not sure what's going to happen tomorrow. So that's the other area that they can help us out.
Okay, Monica Dangler, the time goes so fast because I love animals and I love what you and your team are doing at Pima Animal Care Center. Pets of Pima Parade, 4th Avenue, Saturday, April 23rd. That's going to be a great event. And where can people find out more? Maybe just Google Pima Animal Care would be the best way.
They could find that on the Friends of PAC website.
Friends of PAC
website. So friendsofpac.org.
All right. Monica, always great to see you. Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I love coming in to see you.
Thank you. Midway point of our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Councilman Paul Cunningham is on the live line. He's next. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This is perfect weather to start doing your spring planting and the go-to place for our household when we want some beautiful things in the garden is Green Things. And I know so many of you love Green Things, and why not? What a beautiful 13-acre site. It's right over there on River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They have everything you need for the garden, and they also have knowledgeable salespeople, which is so important. People that can answer all of your gardening questions. And when you're there, stop in and take a look at Zocalo Village, beautiful merchandise, much of it handcrafted from Latin America and Europe. Green Things, AZ.com is the website. They are in their 51st year of business. And ZocaloVillage.com is the website for Zocalo Village. So with things looking better and better with our weather, I think we may have one or, it's been kind of, the nights have been kind of chilly and, you know, close to freezing, but I think we may have most of the cold weather behind us, which means it's a great time to do some gardening. We're going to hear from Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, in a moment. Tom Fairbanks is getting Paul on the line, and he is ready with us on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Councilman, how are you today?
Busy, Bill. Very busy today.
What have you been doing? Were you just at a meeting or what?
No, we have a council meeting today. It's usually on Tuesdays, but it's been moved until today. Partly due to some scheduling issues and the First Lady coming and all that other stuff. So, we bumped our meeting to Wednesday. So we have the meeting today, which starts at 1:00, and then I'm working, obviously.
I know.
And right as you called, just had some regular faculty things that had to be taken care of as the quarter winds down that kind of popped up on me. So I was trying to get that done and then grab something to eat and then get to the council meeting. And I've got the radio interview in between, and sometimes it gets a little hectic, but hey, you gotta take it as it comes, right?
Yeah. And you juggle a lot of things. Paul, I want to begin with the U.S. Senate voting yesterday. It was pretty much overwhelming, 79-19. The final approval for the Postal Reform Act of 2022. The president is expected to sign this. It will require the post office continue with 6-day delivery. Whoopee! I'm very glad that I like the Postal Service, and I'm glad that they're going to continue Saturday delivery. Now, the 11-year battle to keep the Cherry Bell Post Office here in Tucson and the processing center open, it looks good, doesn't it, for perhaps getting the old Tucson postmark back?
Yes. So a few things about this. Number one, this is a huge win for us. We've been fighting this 11 years. Two, shout out to Fimbres, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, Richard, this is Cherry Bell's in his ward, and he's been talking about this in the P card for the last 10 years. And and of course, the Renaissance of Ward 5. Don't forget about the Renaissance of Ward 5. But he's been talking about Cherry Bell, and he's been talking about saving Cherry Bell and advocating tirelessly for that over the last 10 years, and he helped get that done. So it's a big look. I love this. You know, the council gets blamed collectively and gets credit collectively for a lot of things, and I'm happy to say that I helped with Cherry Bell, but that's a Fimbres thing. Richard did a great job, and Ward 5 staff should be commended for the work they've done.
Well, it's a huge deal for those of us that are small business people like myself. I do get checks in the mail, thank goodness, to keep the old radio show on the air. And I'll tell you, sometimes I'm wondering, oh, my goodness, should I contact the client and say, well, you know, your check didn't arrive. It took. And then I see, you know, it comes like 7 days after it was sent here in Tucson because it has to go up to Phoenix. So I, for one, am really looking forward to back to that Tucson postmark being back with us.
I think it also represents another 95 federal jobs. I think that, I mean, there's multiple things that going on here. It helps us with our logistics center. It helps us on it will beget another set of sector jobs that we're working towards. So there's so many wins on this, and you got to give, as far as the council is concerned, Richard Fimbres deserves the lion's share of that credit. As far as our delegation is concerned, everybody chipped in, including both Senator Kelly. But you know, you're here again. You're going to hear a Republican on your show. I mean, a Democrat on your show compliment a Republican. And Sally did a good job when she was in the Senate on this. And the other one I want to give a shout out to is absolutely Raul Grijalva. He was instrumental in making sure that we were able to preserve. And then obviously we want to thank Andrew Patrick for representing us on this as well. But Grijalva and Fimbres really teamed up well on this to get it done. And I'm proud to know them, proud to work with them. And this is a nice win for Tucson.
All right. We have Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, who is juggling about three things as he's on his way to the Tucson City Council meeting. I was not aware that it was today. Normally it's a Monday or Tuesday, but the First Lady Jill Biden was in town yesterday, so I guess that's why it was pushed back today. Any items on the agenda that we need to know about that might be of interest to our listeners, Paul?
Well, today I think the biggest discussion that's going to go on is we've got that ongoing COVID item. I think we're going to take a look at, you know, looking at the CDC guidelines and trying to find an avenue or a window or plan, if you will, to go to live meetings. I think that's going to be part of the discussion today. I don't know if there's a motion brewing or not, but we really can't. I've been advocating opening the pools, opening some of the recreation centers again, in compliance with the CDC guidelines or in with continuity with the CDC guidelines and the blessings of the health department. I mean, I want to do everything right, cross the T's and dot the I's, but I think it's that time. And so I can't really advocate that if we're also still meeting by Zoom in the name of COVID. I think that live meetings and having the public being able to engage the council face-to-face there is a little more compelling. Look, in a pandemic situation and in a quarantine situation, a Zoom meeting is adequate, but if you very well know it is not as intimate and not as just not as effective in advocacy as a live meeting. So those are my thoughts.
Well, I didn't even realize that you were still doing Zoom.
Well, TUSD is still doing Zoom. I mean, there are quite a few different people are doing Zoom. I mean, the Board of Supervisors' first meeting back live was yesterday. Our meeting's just the opposite weeks of. That's it. We hadn't had a meeting since CDC had relaxed the guidelines. So we're on our way to doing that. We just have to formally do it. And we haven't had that opportunity. So I think we're going to have that opportunity today.
And then all of the, I thought all of the rec centers like the Udall Center was open and all of the centers are back open. Are you saying that we still have some shuttered
No, nothing's shuttered, but it's a phased-in opening. It's not open wide all hours. We still have staff that are detailed to helping PCOA in the Meals on Wheels expansion program that we had during COVID. So there's just some things that we've got to, you know, finish off. That date is April 4th. And so we should have the centers open full on April 4th. And then there's also the expansion of the pool season and opening all the pools, which isn't really as COVID-related as it is. We have a lifeguard shortage and a labor shortage, and we're trying to adapt. We're trying to adapt kind of the gig worker and the modern and 21st century economy into having more lifeguards available. So those are the things we're working on, and they're all prudent measures, and we're kind of into endemic mode and really trying to figure out how let's get back going, let's do it the right way, let's make sure people are safe. And really, up until last week, the daily deaths, the seven-day average for the COVID deaths and the seven-day average for COVID cases had not dipped below the pre-Delta spike, or for that matter, the pre-Omicron spike or the pre-Delta hump. And so we really like to get back to that spot, which I think we're there. I haven't checked the latest today, but I know the trajectory looks really good. So we'll see. And I'm of the belief, or I'm confident, that in the next, by the end of this month, by the end of March, we'll be back to open full, barring some, new variant or some other thing. I want to hedge that, because the second you say, hey, it's over, all of a sudden something, I don't want to jinx it. So those are, I think, some of the pieces.
And we'll have Dr. Teresa Cullen, the Pima County Health Director, on the program Friday. She'll be our Friday Focus interview. And I was in the habit of checking the case numbers every day from the website, the dashboard of the Arizona Health Department. But a week or so ago, they went now to a weekly reporting system, and I'm not quite sure. I didn't check it today. I don't know when they are going to be doing those reportings, whether it's Wednesdays or Monday. Who knows when? Do you know?
I think it comes out on, I think they write it Friday, and they publish it Monday, something like that. But I'll say this. The best way to compare for me, early on in the pandemic, I was on that Arizona state side every day. But I think the best way to compare is to look at that seven-day average, which is actually provided by Google. And it's very detailed. But what I like is that you can collectively, despite the nuance, it's about a two-day lag, but you're watching that seven-day averages, and you can compare us with other areas of the country, other counties and municipalities of the country. I think that paints a better picture, if you will. So that's kind of how I like to do it. But everybody has their own methods. Everybody has their own means. That's one thing. They talk about the this and that, but one of the things that's neat, it's a lot different than you and I were growing up, Bill, when you had to go get it. If you needed information, you had to go to the library and get an encyclopedia, or, watch a TV show about it.
Back in the dark ages.
It's a lot different than that. You can pretty much ask any question and get the answer at your fingertips if you know how to ask. And a lot of things, I'm a teacher, and one of the things we talk to kids about now that we never used to do was we now very much talk to kids about trusted sources and about don't believe everything you read and make sure you have your own research. And that's a big part of teaching middle and high school now, and so that's a big part of it. And we try to let the kids kind of go through their own process and figuring out what sources they trust, because if we tell them what sources to take, we can get in trouble for that. So it's a very fine line to walk, but we do our best to give them balance and let them research on their own. It's one of the weird kind of changes in teaching than teaching just out of a book or out of a group of encyclopedias or things like that from 30 years ago.
All right, we'll pause right here a little more with Paul Cunningham on the other side of the break. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition. We'll be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I love those temperatures over in Silver City coming up over the weekend, mid-60s. And I always say it's always cooler over in Silver City, which makes for great hiking weather in the Gila National Wilderness. And if you have not been to the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, that's just north of Silver City, it's just a great outing, only about a three-hour drive, depending on what part of town you're in. It's not a bad drive at all. Visit southwestnewmexico.org to learn more about what to do. And again, there are some great things to do, and there are also some wonderful places to stay as well. All right, let's continue with our conversation with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Your middle school took home some nice honors, and I'm not just talking about athletics. This was in the academic pursuit. Paul, are you?
Yes.
Oh, this.
They did a good job with some benchmark and some with their benchmark scores earlier in the year, and that's continued. And so we're really happy with the progress we've made. And then on the athletic side, our city championship team was fortunate to compete in the state championship tournament this weekend, and they won. I mean, that's the first time in a minute. It's been a while since the state tournament was won by a TUSD team, but it was very exciting.
I was referring to this book about the Holocaust.
Oh, no. So that's different. That was about 2 weeks ago. So they banned that book, Mouse, in Tennessee, which was required reading on the Holocaust course I took at the U of A when I was in my 20s, early 20s. And they actually bound the, they banned this book. So what my office did was we purchased several copies for TOSD High School. It's actually a graphic novel written by Art Spiegelman. It's the first graphic novel ever to win a Pulitzer. And it's about a young man in the 70s with his father, who's a Holocaust survivor, and he kind of tells his father's story through this graphic novel. And it was banned in Tennessee by, well, not banned, it was removed from the curriculum and then not allowed in libraries or something weird. And so what we thought we'd do was we would purchase copies for local high schools. And the thing is that I grew up at Anti-Israel. I got bar mitzvah there, and I met a lot of different Holocaust survivors. One of them, Walter Feiger. Walter Feiger would come to my office every year, kind of ceremonial thing, to sign his documentation notarized for the reparations. He was paid by the German government for surviving the Holocaust. And Walter Feiger operated that liquor store in Monterey Village, right down the street from my house growing up. His son went to middle school with me, and he eventually married the mom of one of my classmates. So we had a connection with him all those years. But the other one that was more interesting to me, well, not more interesting, but the same of same interest, just someone that was affected my life very much, was a good friend of my grandmother's, Mr. Newman. And some of you guys remember his garage, I think it was on Speedway. He had a garage here in the 60s and 70s. And he actually knew my dad. He knew my mom really well because he was good friends with my grandparents. But he knew my dad separately before my mom and dad ever met. He knew my dad separately because my dad was a car guy in high school and would bring his cars over, and Mr. Newman would help him work on them. And Mr. Newman's story in surviving the Nazis was always the most interesting to me because he was in the Bad Line. And for those of you who don't know what the Bad Line is, the Bad Line was where the Nazis sent Jews for what was called special treatment, which meant, you know, your end. And he was in the Bad Line, and the Nazis come walking around and are asking for mechanics. And Meyer was apparently a car guy or a motorcycle guy or something. He knew about engines. So he said, I'm a great train mechanic. And they put him onto the line to work on trains. And he worked really hard to learn how to do it. And he was able to get the right manual. And I guess he could read German or something like that. And then he learned how to not only fix the trains, but he started working with the resistance and using spare parts to make fake paperwork, rig the trains so they would break down again, so that all the people would, there was always work for people to do on the trains. And then was eventually liberated by, of all people, the Swedish Red Cross in the 1990, obviously right after the war. The other thing about Meyer is that Meyer was in the same camp as Mr. Spiegelman, Art Spiegelman's father, who survived the camps and is the subject of that graphic novel, Mouse. They were in the same camp in Selznyak.
And Paul, we're about out of time. The book is spelled M-A-U-S, right? Moss? Well, I think we just lost Paul, but that is the
name. No, I'm here. You can hear me?
Okay, that's the book, Moss, M-A-U-S?
Yes.
Okay. Paul, we're going to have to run. Good luck with your meeting today, the council meeting, and thank you for the time. I know you're really busy.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman. We are out of time. Hope everybody has a great afternoon. Thanks, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our program. Dave Ramsey's very popular show on money is coming up next. Be back in about 23 hours. See you then.